Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. This is your host, Rick Stevens, and folks, remember that this is your show. If you've got questions that you would like to have answered, if there are some topics you would like to hear a little bit more about on a future Money Matters episode, feel free to give me a call at 719-500-8700. You can send me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup, or you can go to frsfinancialgroup.com, click that contact tab up in the top right corner of the screen, send us that question, send us that topic you'd like to know a little bit more about, because we would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week in studio, we've got Dan Cushell with us again. How are we doing today, Dan?
I'm doing just wonderful. Your energy today is just off the charts. It's like it's scaring me.
Well, it's almost baseball season, so it's I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good.
And you had a couple of cups of tea at breakfast.
I did have a couple of cups of black tea this morning.
That'll
so
do it. Yep.
Yeah, we've got some caffeine in there, folks. You also just heard the dulcet tones of the one, the only, thank goodness, George Sleeman.
Yay.
George, thanks for joining us in the studio this week.
Not a problem.
It's
not like I got anything better to do during tax season.
Well, of course not. Of course not. That's right, folks. We are talking with the tax man this week on Money Matters. And before we dive straight in, I've got to make FINRA and the SEC happy, George.
I know.
I've got to say that LPL Financial does not endorse the guests appearing on Money Matters. FRS Financial does not do the endorsement either, because if I were to say that we did, then I don't get to practice anymore. I have a little issue with endorsements.
Well, you need to practice a lot more, Rick.
I do. I need a lot of practice these days. Speaking of practice,
yes,
George, you get to basically reinvent your practice almost every year, because in the tax world, nothing ever stays the same, does it?
Not very often, and not for very long.
Yes, folks, tis the tax season. It is heavily upon us right now. And even though the individual taxes are not due until April 15th, finally the 15th.
It happens only if it lands on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Crazy how that works. But corporate taxes, those are coming up next week, aren't they, George?
March 15th, deadline.
Yep. So those folks out there that maybe haven't started thinking about that yet, extension is the response to that part.
Extension's been the response in that part in our world since February 1st.
Yep.
Yeah, because it takes too long to do a good return to say, yeah, I can have that for you in a couple hours and get it out the door. The way our practice works is it's FIFO, just like inventory. You got last in, first out is LIFO, FIFO, first in, first out. And our clients are aware of it.
Yep.
Corporate returns, if you weren't in the house by February 1st, we have to extend you. We may not use it, but an extension is only saying, hey, I think I might need more time. It's not, hey, I want to be audited. That's not it at all.
Right. Right. And that kind of, you know, starts to work in with that first question that I've really got. The extension is, I might need some more time,
right,
but I may not take all of it.
Right.
And if we extend the corporate side, that extends out until September.
September 15th. It's a 6-month extension.
Yep. And the same thing is true on the individual side, extends to October. But I can still have that return filed before then, correct?
God, please do. just because we extend you does not mean that you can extend the time that you get us stuff. Because when we file the extension, we're saying, hey, we need some more time. But no, you don't want to wait till 11:30 and get it done. You want to get it done at 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. The sooner you can get it done, the better. Why lay there awake at night going, my taxes aren't done, my taxes aren't done? Yes, I filed the extension. Whew, now I can forget about it for 6 months? No. You can forget about it over the weekend, but Monday morning, get back to us.
Yeah, and that's one of those things with filing the extension is if I owe, it doesn't say I just move down when I'm supposed to pay. It just means that the interest is accruing on what I have to pay.
And the penalties will increase if you owe too much. Now, the corporate part, the S-Corp, the partnerships, they don't pay taxes. The C-Corp isn't due till April 15th. So everything that owes tax is due April 15th. Pay it if you think you owe it. You'll get it back if you overpay. And if you underpay, you've just taken a big chunk out of what you're going to owe. So why not?
Yeah.
Rule of thumb is if you paid last year, pay that amount again. Unless there was some extenuating circumstance.
Right,
that, you know,
right.
You sold an investment property. You won the lottery. You know, one of my clients last year bought a $300 ticket for the Boys and Girls Club house auction up in Denver.
Uh-huh.
They didn't sell enough to buy the house, so they got the cash option.
Oh, wow.
$1.2 million.
There's some taxes on that.
Yeah, they don't need to pay what they did last year.
Yeah.
But given a normal year, pay what you think you owe to help you help me help you.
Yep, absolutely. And kind of in that same vein, if you will, for those folks that do end up owing, is there a threshold? It's a setup question because I know the answer is yes, there is a threshold. Is there a threshold that if you owe over a certain percentage of what you were supposed to have paid, you do get that penalty tacked on?
If you owe $1,000 or more at filing time, April 15th, and you have not made estimated payments, the IRS goes, we want our money on a regular basis, 4 payments every quarter. If you don't do that and you owe over $1,000, they will tag you for what's called failure to pay proper estimated payments. It's a small fine, penalty, whatever you want to call it, but it's still a penalty. And some people, when they hear the word penalty, they
Oh, yes.
We have clients that don't make estimated payments. I'm not encouraging this, but I'm saying that some people don't make estimated payments because their financial advisor can make them more money than it is to pay them to avoid a small fine. Penalty. Interchangeable. I'm going to be using that all day, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the interest on the amount of money that you owe racks up until it's paid. So you're saving yourself some interest by paying in on time. The extension is the extension to file, not an extension to pay,
mm-hmm.
which goes back to what I said before. If you think you owe, pay. If you don't think you owe, take a look at how much you made. Take a look at your withholdings. We're finding across the board, people didn't change their W-4.
Mm-hmm.
They made the same amount of money, and there was less taken out of their checks for federal
yes.
withholding. Doesn't make sense. Nothing really seriously changed except the tax tables.
Minor issue.
And so they are having less taken out, therefore owing more. Case in point, yesterday, client came in, we reviewed his taxes. He made enough more that he owed $700 more in tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to looking at why did he owe $700 more in tax? And it was only because his withholdings dropped by $700. But his pay was the same.
Yeah.
You got to be mindful of that stuff. So if you were close last year, throw them some money. If you owed, pay it again.
Yep. And when we're talking about that interest that continues to accrue on the dollars that you owe into the IRS, that's not like the bank and they're just going to give you what you got for the month. They're actually compounding those on a daily basis, correct?
Yes.
That sounded like there was a question mark at the end of it, or at least a kind of yes.
It's a kind of yes, because they will figure the interest on the date that you pay it, but they also take it months at a time, or a month at a time, right. I should say. So
it's 1/30th of whatever the monthly rate is.
Yes.
But it goes to that particular day. So
because
they
change interest rates every quarter.
Right.
Or can.
Right.
And they're not going down.
Not yet.
We'll see what happens, right?
6 months. I'm telling you, 6 months.
Okay, that works for me. But yeah, it's crazy. The IRS math is almost as bad as VA disability math.
That's rough math.
That's rough math. Yeah, they don't teach that math in school because it doesn't exist. But it does.
Yes, in government agencies.
In government agencies.
Now, kind of sticking in that government agency world, because yes, we are talking about taxes. One of the things that I oftentimes will run into with folks, and I'm sure you've probably seen this as well, is that there are folks out there who, through the year, they have done some trading in cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, I get hit with the misconception that because cryptocurrency isn't necessarily regulated by FINRA and the SEC as a security, that I don't really have to worry about that when it comes to my taxes. But that's not the case, is it?
No, that's not the case at all. They know if you have crypto. Don't kid yourself. They know who has crypto and how much. To the point that they have said that in 2025, the crypto houses are going to be issuing a 1099.
Wow.
To the holders. That'll show the basis and the sale price so that you can properly say what your capital gains is. And by properly, I mean there's an actual document that if you say it's wrong, you got to prove it's wrong. Where now we're depending on spreadsheets, data purchase, all that stuff. I mean, because right now, from what I understand, Bitcoin, for example, mm-hmm. is trading at $66,918.90 a unit. Let me round that up for you so you understand. That'd be $66,919 a unit at the time of this taping.
Right.
If you bought it at 33, you just doubled your money.
Right.
Okay. That's capital gains. Unless it's been less than a year and a day, then it's short-term capital gains versus long-term capital
yes.
gains. 15%, 20% max if you have over $480,000 or ordinary income. Again, client walks in the door. He sees the big white sign outside our building that says Westside Tax Service. He's never been there before, and he comes in and says, I want you to do my taxes this year. I got kind of a situation. What's that? Well, I bought some crypto a few years back for $1,000 and I just cashed out $1.5 million.
Ooh, ow.
Yeah, nice basis.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a very large capital gain, and he is expected to do the same this year. There are people who can invest in crypto that seem to know what they're doing.
Or at least they're long-term holders and they're not
long-term
playing
holders.
The daily game.
You play daily games, you're going to lose daily prizes. But that is a capital gain. They knew about it. The IRS already knew about it. They're sitting there rubbing their hands together going, oh, we're getting money off of this one.
Yep.
And it's our job to make sure it's reported correctly so that you can minimize that tax, avoid audit problems, which is one of the biggest things with crypto.
Right.
You know, people are trading crypto left and right and not reporting it. And if you get a letter that says, are you sure you didn't have crypto? That's the IRS going, really? because we saw your name and social security number, and we know that you have crypto, and we're going to be really, really nice right now and tell you maybe you meant to mark yes.
Yeah.
But you marked no. That is a question on, and it's on corporate returns as well.
Yes.
Does the corporation own, have, trade, accept as money cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
That opens up a whole kettle of fish. What day did you take that payment? What
right.
was its value at the time of that payment? Because now you are an investor in crypto.
Yes.
So guess what, folks? You get to play the crypto game.
Yes. Yes. And that's one of those things where unless it is inside of some other type of security, because there are mutual funds and ETFs
right.
that hold digital assets, you've got to be very, very careful with that. You've got to have all of those ducks in a straight row, because even if that row is just a little bit crooked, the IRS knows it.
They dang right they do.
So some wild stuff in there. Kind of in that same vein, I want to throw out this. It's only moderately off topic, but you know we're coming into baseball season.
Yeah.
The all-time.
Go Brewers.
The all-time hits leader several years ago got basically put in jail because he was fudging some of his, shall we call it, gambling losses and winnings on there, which is also why Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame, because he was betting on his team for some games.
Worse yet, he was betting against his team.
Yeah, some rough stuff going on there with Pete. But in those questions that get asked as you're going through these pieces with different folks, you can actually take gambling losses if you can prove it, but you got to remember, you got to take the wins too, right?
Exactly. So if you get the statement from the casino that says you made $1,800 off of the one-armed bandit and you cashed out, the IRS is going to know about it. Now, are they going to know about the $5 win that you had? No, they're not. Maybe. Because to prove your losses, because you can deduct losses up to winnings if you itemize. Here's how you do it. Every time you pull that one-armed bandit, you write down what machine, what serial number, what the value of the bet was, and if you win, you put in how much you win. If you lost, you put in how much you lost. That's called keeping an extemporaneous journal. There's not one person, I have been to Vegas many times, I've been to Cripple Creek, that sits there with a pad and paper and goes, this is what I did. But what they do have are these wonderful little player cards.
Mm-hmm.
You put your player card in, it tracks everything. Now, Rick, maybe you know the answer to this question. It's a tough one. What industry do you think might be extremely heavily regulated, audited, and their books are looked at quite often concerning gambling winnings and loses?
I'm wondering if this might be the casinos.
It might be. Ding, 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 ding. You won the prize.
Good thing it was a $0 win.
That's right. So when you get that W-2 that says you won X amount of dollars, you can get your player statement, and your player statement's going to have how much you actually won, and your player statement's going to say how much you actually lost, and it's going to be cumulative by every pull of the arm.
Wow.
It's sad, really, that I have seen people walk out of there with cash in their pocket of $30,000, $40,000, and they've lost over $100,000.
Oh, my goodness.
But they didn't know they lost over $100,000. Because each pull is recorded. So we can take those deductions up to the amount of winnings.
Right.
All it does is cancel each other out. It's not a great benefit, but it does help.
Yeah, and especially if somebody has won one of those larger jackpots and doesn't want to pay taxes on, oh my goodness, I just won $30,000, $40,000,
$50,000. Yeah, back in 97, I was down in a casino in Laughlin, Nevada. I had just gotten off duty where I was on the overnight shift. I was a police officer down there. And a buddy of mine went to the casino. And after about an hour, I was sitting at the blackjack table. I was up $25. I was like, woohoo! And I look over at him, and he's sitting at one of the unarmed bandits, and it says $100,000 across the top.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. I said, how much have you put in? He said, $5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, he paid some taxes that year.
Yeah, yeah.
He also bought ammunition. Want gold and silver? Buy lead and brass.
There you go. There you go. Very, very much so. So one more piece here as we kind of wrap up this first segment, if you will. But we've got a little bit of time, so I thought I could take up some of the time with this state of Colorado issue. And I use the air quotes for issue on this. I was actually helping my 17-year-old last weekend go through, fill out her tax forms. She paid in $124 in state tax last year because she made like $3,000.
Right.
And the state of Colorado told her she gets $924 back because it was her $124 and her $800 repay.
Tabor.
That she said, how did I get that, Dad? Because I didn't pay in anything.
Well, that's a Tabor refund.
Yes.
That comes out of the general fund. $800 per person that files the return. That does not count dependents.
I know.
It's either $800 or $1,600. It is not $5 million counting all your kids, right?
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
So that's money that was collected by taxes, that was over-collected, that the state government is refunding to you. Now, there is some things on Tabor you need to be aware of. And you retired people really need to pay attention to this. If you want to file a tax return, you have to file federal to file state.
Right.
If you want to get your Tabor refund, get to your practitioner. If you can file it before April 15th, even if you have no taxable income at the state level, you will get your Tabor refund.
Yes.
If you go in on April 16th, or if an extension has to be filed, and you have not paid into the state, and you have no state tax liability, you will get no Tabor.
Wow. Wow. So they have really put some guardrails on that.
Same guardrails that they've been using for the last 2 years with these Tabor refunds. You either have to have had state withholding withheld in your filing to get that refunded, or you have to have a actual tax liability. It could be a dollar, but you have to have a liability. We're currently at 4.5 flat percent of federal taxable income, less retirement income if you're 55 and over of 20,000, whole bunch of different limits on that, charitable contributions. But those are the rules on Tabor. So if you want to file the return to get your Tabor, you must tell your practitioner now, I need this before April 15th because I don't expect to owe to this state. I don't expect there to be a liability, but I really want to get my Tabor refund.
Yeah.
So would you please not extend this? Would you please get it filed right away? Those are typically very easy returns to do and can be done in a short turnaround time. I will not sit down with you and do it while you're sitting at my desk. I'm sorry, that's just not happening. But we do have two separate stacks.
Yes.
And the separate stack that is just, I'm doing this for Tabor, is in one pile. And we're getting through those as fast as humanly possible. And everybody else is in the other pile. And we're getting through those as fast as humanly possible. But I'm here to tell you, Rick, I have not seen an uptick like I've seen this year.
Wow.
We are people in the door over 35% more to date than last year.
Wow.
So either we're getting a lot more clients coming in because word of mouth, the Dave Ramsey program, Ramsey Trusted in Southern Colorado Springs, and being on your show is the only advertising that we do. If you want to call this an advertisement, I call it a conversation.
It's true.
And I don't pay Rick for this.
That's also very true.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he usually buys me lunch after. But it's incredible. So our company, Westside Tax Service, is doing something right. And when you do things right, it gets noticed.
Yes.
And people tell other people they're doing it right. I had a guy come back that was gone for 2 years. He said, George, I am so tired of the incompetence. Will you take me back, please? Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. Thanks for the compliment. That was awesome to hear. we get them every year. People leave because of price, because it took us too long to get it done, they feel, or whatever. But they come back.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of those things. And I think also maybe even coming into that as well are those folks who are finally realizing, and you know, I never thought about it when I was younger, but there's a lot of headache I don't have anymore because I let you guys take care of my headache for that.
Well, yeah, that's why my nickname's Excedrin.
Perfect. Well, folks, we are up against that break in today's show. When we come back, we will continue talking with George Sleeman, the tax man, right here on Money Matters.
Money affects each of us in different ways. Sometimes it's a source of stress and fear. Sometimes it's a source of comfort and security. Whatever your perspective, it's always good to get a second set of eyes on your finances to help serve as a guide. If you are looking for that guidance, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.
Well, thanks for sticking with us through that break, folks. Rick Stevens here with you on Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. We are talking with George Sleeman, the tax man. And George, I actually hear you've got a question for the investment guy when it comes to some of this. So fire away.
We had a client email us and ask us this question, and I'm like, you know, that's a Rick question. I think I'm going to embarrass him and ask it on air because I never ask you the question.
That's true.
He wanted to know, he's got a business.
Yes.
He wants to contribute to his retirement that he has not yet set up.
Yes.
But he wants to contribute to 23.
Right.
And he's like, do I do a 401k? Do I do a 407b? Do I do a SEP, a simple? And I'm not sure in my world which, because I don't do this, right. I only take the money
yes.
that you tell me he invested
yes.
and put it on the return. But which ones can be set up now for a 23 tax advantage?
So the short version of that is that if there is a corporate retirement plan that you're putting together that requires a payroll deduction, I can't deduct your payroll from November last year to count that as a contribution. So that's like a simple IRA. That's a 401k or a 401a or a 403b or a 457. We can't set that up for last year's contribution. However, if the company is making the contribution only, there's no employee contribution, a SEP, the Simplified Employee Pension, is acceptable to be able to make a previous year's contribution, setting it up before you actually file your taxes for the year.
And the way we tell people that to get those money in is we tell them April 15th or extension deadline or the day you file your return.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's whenever you can't file the extension, file the return in June and expect in October to be able to make last year's contribution.
Right.
Exactly right. Okay. So, and folks can also do that with just their own traditional or Roth IRA as well. You can actually start that IRA, establish it now, but you can still make last year's contribution all the way up until that time that you file your return.
Okay. Now, the deferred comp is what you're saying you cannot do. Deferred compensation cannot be done in arrears. But, and the one thing I also tell them is if they've got employees, they need to be careful with that SEP.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you're doing it for you, guess what?
Yep.
Your 57 employees get the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And most of those folks that we do that SEP for, usually it's either a single employee who is also the owner, or they may employ their spouse or a kid, or maybe I've got some that will employ a couple of other people, but there are only like three of them total, and they want the business to be able to do that. They're not putting away for every employee out of the 50 that they have that way.
Okay.
So that's that previous year question kind of in there, so thank you for bringing that up. I do want to actually flip those tables back to you again.
We're
going that route. There are some misconceptions out there. I know that you hear them. I hear them. I see them. Sometimes I've had to correct some of these in my own home a time or two. But there are a few of them out there, and one of those that I see, because these folks are advertising anywhere and everywhere, and I think mostly it's because they really might be struggling because people are starting to figure this part out, is that, oh, TurboTax, I can just use the package out of the box or online, and I'll be fine, right? TurboTax, oh, they've got everything programmed in there. It's going to be fine. I'll just do my taxes that way. That's not exactly the case, is it?
Do you know how to use a slide rule?
Yeah, if you don't slide, they'll call an automatic out for malicious contact.
Okay.
Is that the wrong slide rule?
That's the wrong slide rule.
I hate that.
Back in the day, engineers used slide rules instead of scientific calculators, and they were very complex things to do.
Yes.
And then they made the calculator, where anybody can do this. Well, yeah, but if you don't know what you don't know, how do you know what to put in?
Yes.
That is the same with TurboTax, with any box software. I'm not singling out TurboTax because I'm not. But
it's the biggest one out there.
It's the biggest one out there, and it's hard not to. When some of the box stores have their own online ones. And if you have one W-2, use it. Go for it. Use it all you want. If you have two W-2s, I'm going to tell you maybe. But if you've got kids, you've got education credits, you've got a house, you've got self-employment, you've got financial investments where you're getting capital gains, dividends, and interest, and then there's investment expense.
And foreign taxes
and
paid.
And foreign taxes paid and all that wonderful stuff, and you want to use TurboTax, go for it. I'll fix it in a couple of years when you come to me and say, George, help.
Yeah.
I'm being audited and I don't know what I did wrong. You don't know what you don't know to put in. I can't build a house. I hire carpenters to do that. I cannot fix my truck. I hire mechanics to do that. I can do my own taxes, but I hire one of my guys to do it because I don't want to do my own taxes. I can't imagine somebody else who isn't an accountant wanting to do their own taxes. So you hire pros. At Westside, we hire people who are better than me. I think I'm pretty good at what I do. But I hire people who make me look good.
And that's hard work.
No, that's actually very simple. No. We're still talking taxes, not looks.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
No, it's the team I have at Westside Tax Service, Paul, Ariana, Talon, my business partner, Charlotte, all extremely intelligent, well-versed tax preparers. They can do just as well, if not better, than me. And when we have a group meeting, we have a pool of minds where we can go, hey, you know what? I'm stuck on this point. Let's talk. We did that this morning at our staff meeting before this. We have... We save those really, really tough ones and have a group meeting at that time. And you think you're going to do your own taxes when you're self-employed?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a doctorate in... I don't have it. I have an employee who has a doctorate in accounting. I have an enrolled agent. I have an employee who's an enrolled agent, which means we're licensed to practice in front of the IRS. We have to pass their standards and we have to maintain our continuing education. And the doctorate, by the way, is also a CPA out of Puerto Rico. She lives here, but her license is still in Puerto Rico. And we've got people that we have trained. We're going to get you the lowest tax liability or the largest refund that you are entitled to on a legal basis that I can stand up to the IRS and say, yes, we took this position because IRS code such and such and says we can. I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
I will stretch the boundaries as far as I legally can, but I'm not going to break the law.
Yeah.
That's 17 years a cop. It can't be done. Ethically, we are the most ethical company, in my opinion, out there. Because we will tell you, no, you can't do that. And I'm sorry, if you want us to, you need to find another firm because we refuse.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, just a little quick TurboTax story here. So, you know, my family is all back in Southern Illinois. A few years ago, my dad was trying to TurboTax his return. Was the first year of his retirement, but he had still gotten a January paycheck from stuff that was done in December. So he's working through all of that. And he called me and said, I think I have a tax issue. And I said, okay, what is it? Well, TurboTax just said I owe $14,000. And I said, I'm not a tax guy, but I know how much we withhold from what gets sent to you every month. And I'm pretty sure you don't owe $14,000 because that would have taken about five times the income that we send to you to have needed to withhold that much more. And I went through the Dave Ramsey site, found his tax ELP out there, and instead of owing 14, I believe he got an $8,000 refund that year. So that's, again, one of those important pieces, because sitting there with someone in person, the individual sitting across from you who is that tax preparer knows the right questions to ask, and the box just goes with whatever you last checked and hit next on.
Exactly. And the box is good for data input. I'm not saying it's not. It does follow tax code. But there are parts of the tax code that if you say yes here, you go left.
Mm-hmm.
If you say no, you go right. But it's a double negative question.
Yeah.
So now it's confusing. Let me help you unconfuse that.
Yeah, taxes. Taxes, crazy, crazy confusing out there. One of those confusing pieces that, and we see it both from what the state government does as well as the federal government, are tax credits versus tax deductions.
Big difference.
How do we understand that difference, George? We've only got about 20 minutes left in the show. I'll start with that.
All right. A deduction reduces taxable income. Okay. If you itemize, you have 7.15% of adjusted gross income limit for medical expenses. Anything above and beyond that can be deducted. You have taxes that you paid. State income tax, property tax, or if you're in a state that has no state income tax, sales tax tables,
right.
You buy a car, you buy one of them $80,000 Teslas. By the way, did you hear about the...
I heard about that, yeah. that small accident the other day.
Yeah. Woo. That was some money. But those are deductions. Charitable contributions are a deduction. They can possibly lower your taxable income if you have enough to go over the standard deduction. Hard to do, but can be done. If your standard deduction is higher than your itemizable deductions, you don't have any deductions. You're going to use the standard.
Right.
Okay. So that brings you to taxable income, on which we use tax tables, we use the capital gains and dividends tax table, whatever, mm-hmm. To get a tax, income tax liability. This is where the tax credits come into play. A tax credit doesn't lower your taxable income. It lowers your tax liability.
Ah.
Let's keep talking cars and trucks.
Yep.
Energy. Tesla.
Yes. There's been an EV tax credit.
Yes, $7,500 if it's brand new, half of that if it's used, and fits within all the parameters. Then that tax credit is used to lower your tax liability. The deduction is the sales tax that you paid on that $80,000 car. If that's enough to itemize and add to your itemizable deductions, you will lower your taxable income, which will figure out your tax liability, and then the tax credit will lower the tax liability so that you don't owe as much.
Got it.
That's the basic difference. much.
Yeah, so my deduction lowers the income. Yep. The credit lowers the liability of the taxes I owe. And on that credit side, there are some refundable and non-refundable tax credits as well.
Yes, there are. The non-refundables, all right, let's say you owe $10,000. Your tax liability says you owe $10,000. And you have a non-refundable credit of $15,000. You are going to not owe any taxes. And you will have $5,000, depending on the credit, carry over to the next year. Or it might be gone. Some of the credits are not beyond that year.
Right.
You're not going to get the full 15, but you'll get the 10. And then you have zero tax liability. And now let's throw kids into this picture, shall we?
I just have a couple of them. Let's go
you
for
got
it.
Got a couple of them. The current child tax credit is $2,000, $1,400 of which is refundable. You have five kids. Six.
Five that'll be on the return. Six,
okay.
Because the sixth one is out. He's gone. He's
right.
On his
okay.
Own return now.
All right. I couldn't remember.
Sometimes I can't either.
Yeah. But you've got five times $1,400 as a refundable tax credit that you'll receive. You'll get that on top of any withholdings that you have. So if you had $4,000 withheld, and then you got five times $1,400, you get all that money back because it's refundable. Let's change the scenario just a little bit.
All right.
You have two kids, $2,000 each for $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
You have a $1,200 tax liability. Remember I said it's $2,000, $1,400 refundable.
Yes.
So $600 is non-refundable.
Oh.
They will use non-refundable credits before refundable credits.
Right.
You owe $1,200. They will take $600 from one child, $600 from the other, wipe out your tax liability. And then you get $2,800. For the kids.
Yep. So it's more the government math.
It's more government math, but this one actually makes sense in a little bit because we're going to use all the non-refundables first.
Yeah.
Then we're going to tack on what you paid in.
Mm-hmm.
But the non-refundable credits, by the way, do not touch self-employment tax.
Yeah.
Non-refundable.
Ouch.
Yeah. It
ouch.
Can be a big ouch, Dan. When you have a $10,000, back to the original scenario, mm-hmm. You've got a $10,000 tax liability and you wipe it out with a non-refundable credit and you got that $15,000 non-refundable. We're going to carry that $5,000 to next year. But George, I still owe $6,000. Well, yes, you do, because you're paying self-employment tax.
Mm.
So now you have a $6,000 liability, but we're going to throw in the $7,000 for your five kids.
Right.
That's refundable. So now you're going to get a $1,000 refund.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It can, if you think about it right, you can strategize and get the right tax credits put into the right place.
Mm-hmm.
There's state-specific tax credits that are extremely helpful.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to give smart, right?
Right.
Okay. Enterprise zone credits.
Mm-hmm.
There are places in town that you can donate, and one of them I'm going to give a shout out to because I think it's an absolutely wonderful program, the Salvation Army's daycare program, child care program.
Yes.
You donate $1,000 to them. You will not only get a $1,000 reduction on either federal income or some reduction of income on the state return if you mm-hmm. don't itemize. But then you also get 50% of what you donate as a non-refundable state credit.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's good.
A $500 state credit
yeah.
at a 4.5% tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. So are you double dipping? Yes. Is it smart? Heck yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So take a look. El Paso County website's got a link that you can go to that'll get you to the Enterprise Zone tax credits. Look them up. Find out how to do them right, because there is paperwork involved. This isn't just an automatic.
Right.
There's paperwork involved. get a hold of the contact person off of that website that gives you that list and get the paperwork you need, because you're going to thank me later.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, kind of in that similar vein, talking about your deductions and your credits and the refund part, and I run into this all the time with folks, that misconception that it's good to get a big refund coming back to you.
Well, for those who cannot save money and do not have any kind of financial planner or budget, maybe. The problem is you're paying in too much in withholding, and that money could be used monthly to keep food on your table.
Yeah.
You need to be smart when it comes to money. You don't have to have a college degree to do this, folks. How my father and mother taught me to budget was very simple. For 30 days, you have a notepad in your pocket. Well, okay, now I'm dating myself. This
well,
is
you got,
pre-computer.
You got the smartphone got the with smartphone. A notepad on it.
Yeah. You track every single penny you spend for 30 days. If you buy a cup of coffee at 7-Eleven, $2.18, or $2.48, I think it just went.
Oh, this is a good idea. I see where you're going.
You write down every time you buy a donut, $1.80. You write down every time you make your house payment, $1,705, whatever. But you track it to the penny.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the month, you take a look and say, okay, where did I spend my money? Well, here's my house payment. Here's my grocery bills.
Here's my donut bill.
Here's my donut bill. Oh, my God. Coffee, I spent how much?
Wow, yeah.
And you will be amazed. Mm-hmm. So if you can be smart with your money, do a budget, spend money as it needs to be spent when you're in a situation where you need every dollar.
Yeah.
Then you spend it as you need it, not as you want.
Right. A lot of people think that when you get the big refund, it's some sort of bonus. But if you just use your analysis, you can actually not get as big of a refund, but your liability won't be as big.
Right. Our goal would be to have everybody net $1,000.
Yeah, right.
And by that, I mean you do not owe or get a refund combined between the state and the feds
right.
of $1,000.
Right.
$1,000 is a quasi-manageable amount.
Mm-hmm.
And $1,000 is also the limit to trigger estimated payments.
Yes.
So let's get you down below that. Now, here's the kicker on that. I've got a client, married, 5 kids. No, not you, Rick.
I was wondering if it was a story about me.
Nope. This is not a story about you. This is a story about a young man who is struggling. His wife is disabled. He is doing everything he can to make every dime that he can. And they barely get by. They've got food stamps. They've got Medicaid for the family. They are struggling. But this year they got a $15,000 refund, and he had $0 taken out of his check for withholding. And that was because he is at the level for the earned income credit to kick in that allows him to have that big refund.
Right.
Is there a way around that? No. Should there be? That's up to the politicians, not up to me. That money allows him to buy the things that they need that they cannot afford during the year. Now, if you take that earned income credit, and I will let my politics show here, if you take that earned income credit and go buy yourself a brand new car, shame on you.
Right.
But if you take that earned income credit and you're buying food to stock up in the pantry, you're buying your children clothes, you're buying your wife clothes, you're buying the necessities for the household.
Or draw on that throughout the year. Right, for the rest of the year. Get the refund and then put it somewhere
where you can take it as you need it, not as you want.
Right.
So is a big refund the best thing in a perfect world? No. I call it a forced savings account. If you're withholding more than you should, and that's what's causing, that is a forced savings account. Here, Rick, let me loan you $2,000 interest-free. Just give it back to me 15 months from now.
Yeah. Right.
No. I love you, Rick, but no.
All right. Fine.
I've got a question, George, as we're getting ready to wrap up the show here in the next 8 minutes or so. And don't raise your eyebrows when you hear this. Illegal activity is not taxable, right?
No, it is.
It is taxable.
You ever hear of Al Capone?
Okay. All right.
They could not prove how Al Capone got his money, but they knew he had it.
Oh.
And so they got him, the IRS. He went to prison on tax evasion.
That's right.
They got him for not filing his tax returns. If you sell crack, if you're selling illegal booze, form an LLC. I'm not advising this, but this would have saved Al Capone's butt.
I love this.
Had he formed a legitimate corporation and ran that money through the corporation and paid the taxes owed on it, he never would have gone to prison.
Wow. That is so crazy.
Some wild stuff out there. Now, George, I know there are a lot of folks, you know, in the post-COVID world that after everybody got sent home from work, never actually came back to the office. They've got a home office that they work out of in their house. Are home office deductions an automatic red flag? You're going to get audited for it.
No. It is not an automatic red flag. I thought you were going to ask me, is it deductible? And I was going to say, is Evan here?
Because it depends.
It depends.
The square footage.
No.
Oh.
What it depends on is, are you an independent contractor or are you an employee?
Oh, that's interesting.
Prior to the Trump tax changes in 18, a W-2 employee could have unreimbursed business expenses. Meaning, if you were working at home as a W-2 employee, you could claim a home office as long as it hit 2% of your adjusted gross income and you were able to itemize. We would try. Tax Act changed, went away. There is no deduction for a W-2 employee to work at home.
What about a contract worker, 1099?
A contract worker has a home office deduction.
They do.
You can take the percentage of square foot that is reasonably used for business.
Okay.
It has to be exclusive and it has to be regularly. Meaning, you got a spare room. Take the bed out. Put in a desk. You have an office.
Okay.
It's separated by a door.
And it's the whole bedroom?
And it's the whole bedroom.
Okay.
Because it's all being used. If you have a spare bed in there, well, no, it's not exclusive to business.
Then you cut it in half? Or what do you? How do you get the square footage?
You could, in theory, you could cut it in half if you hung a sheet and took a picture.
Okay.
Because you have to prove the exclusivity if asked.
Okay.
Regularly is 15 hours a week or more. If you're self-employed, my God, if you only work 15 hours a week, you're not.
I was going to say that 15 hours a week. That's a Monday.
I was going to say that's Monday morning, but and then we take that square footage to the total square footage of the house and determine a percentage.
Okay.
That percent of your property tax, that percentage of your mortgage interest, that percentage of all your utilities.
What if you rent your house?
You're better off.
If you rent?
If you rent in this scenario, because then we take that percentage of your rent and that percentage of your utilities, and there's no depreciation to recapture when you move. If you own your own home and you do it, I'm going to have to, let me rephrase that. The IRS says that you should depreciate your home office because when you sell that house, you will have to reclaim any business use depreciation of your home that was allowed or allowable.
Oh.
So if you don't take it, you're going to recapture it anyway.
Right.
So take advantage of it now. There's a safe harbor, $5 a square foot, but it's only up to 300 feet for $1,500. Or you can do the actual expense, which is that percentage, and then we depreciate the home. But when you sell it again, the depreciation has to be recaptured. It's some higher math on all that stuff. Yeah. I don't have, we got like 4 minutes. I don't want to.
Take the whole 4 minutes.
Take the whole four minutes. But you'll recapture that depreciation in ordinary income because that's what it's offsetting. And it can work for you. It can increase a loss. It can create a loss. Where the safe harbor, if you got a $1,200 profit in a 300 square foot office, that by math is a loss.
Yeah.
Well, using safe harbor, you're only allowed to go to zero.
Okay. Interesting.
Awesome. So final question here as we wrap up, and I think this is probably a fun little question here to end on. In the event there's a mistake made,
which there may not be,
on my tax return, it's my accountant who's liable for that, right? It's my tax preparer. It's clearly not me because I'm not the one that filled it out.
It depends. What's the mistake? Here is why we do it the way we do it, and I don't have you sitting across the table. I have you drop the stuff off, and we go over it, and we have our staff meetings, and we discuss it, and we have second set of eyes on every single return. Transposing a number, not terribly difficult to do.
Right.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
If I transpose a number and I don't catch it, the second set of eyes usually will.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a mistake and there's a penalty for that, I will pay the penalty. But that's our company.
Yeah.
You owe the tax. We'll take care of the penalty. That's my bad. If you forget to give me a W-2 or a 1099.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I totally forgot this 1099 from last year that showed I actually had about $6,000 worth of capital gains.
Yeah.
Oops. That's on you. We're going to charge you for the amendment, and we're not going to take any penalty that comes from that. That's on you. You forgot to do it. But if I forget it, you gave it to me, and I didn't put it in, one, slim to none chance of that happening, yeah. But we are human. We are not AI. Things happen.
AI is not exactly foolproof either.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, ask the attorney who did a court case that way.
Yeah.
But if I own it, it's mine. I'll pay for it.
Okay.
You got to pay the tax. As a company, we'll pay the penalty.
Awesome. Well, George, thanks for coming in this week with us. I know we are basically 5 weeks away from filing either your taxes, or you better have had the extension already in, so you can move that out a little bit further. Folks want to get in touch with you guys over at Westside. I know you are filing extensions for people right now to push that out. How do they get in touch?
Come by the office, 2640 West Colorado Avenue. Or at our north office at 2930 North Academy Boulevard, Suite 100. Call us, 719-445-0085, or visit the website, westsidetaxservice.com.
Thanks, George.
Awesome. Thanks, George. Folks, if you've got those questions, feel free to reach out to George. You can also, if you didn't quite catch all of his info, you can reach out to me. I will pass that along. That's all the time we've got for this week on Money Matters. We will be back next week continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.